Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of the Stompcast. Abby and I are wandering. We've got two Abbies and a Charlie, actually, wandering through here on the park. We're very pleased that it's actually really sunny.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It did start as a rainy day. It shows you sometimes, maybe there is some kind of a metaphor there, that some days start as a rainy day and they turn into good days,
yeah.
into sunny days. So there's always hope there, isn't there? Anyway, as we start into part two, in this part we're going to talk about how to stop being a people pleaser, which I think is something most people can relate to, and gosh, it's such a waste of time. So we're gonna do a good old chunk on that. But first of all, I want to start off with a bit of a conversation about what are the different kinds of therapy. We don't have to do this in any particular depth, but you hear words of like integrative.
Integrative
therapy. There you go. Clearly, we need to iron it out. Different kinds of therapy. What do these different words really mean? And when you're kind of looking for a therapist, how do you know what to look for?
Oh, good question. It can be a bit of a minefield.
It does feel a minefield. I mean, yeah. When I started looking, it did feel like a minefield,
yeah.
to be honest.
It's really overwhelming, I think. Basically, integrative therapist, it just means that I'm trained in more than one modality. So I blend like CBT, psychodynamic therapy, body-based therapy. I just don't believe that there's a one-size-fits-all approach to therapy. So I basically have like a toolbox of different techniques that I use with people. But what I would say to someone looking for a therapist is honestly try not to get too caught up in the different modalities, because, you know, research does show that the most effective therapy is when you have a good relationship with your therapist. Like, that is the most important thing. And so if you're looking for a therapist, first of all, I would say shop around. Mm-hmm. Lots of therapists offer like an introductory session. And so do that with a few people and just choose the person that you feel the most comfortable with, the person that you think that you could say anything and they wouldn't judge you, and just go with your gut instinct and try not to get too caught up in their different certificates and education.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want someone qualified, that's really important.
Yeah.
But yeah, think about the relationship, because then that's going to have the most effective outcome, I think.
It's funny, because I literally was having a conversation with a friend literally yesterday, who was looking for a therapist, and I did actually recommend speaking to the therapist I use. I know this person,
yeah.
but I immediately followed that up with therapy is kind of like speed dating,
yeah.
and you kind of need to just have a really open mind and meet people and find the right connection.
Yeah.
Because you do need to be able to connect with that person to have that professional capacity and have that ability to kind of open up. Because if you're with someone that makes you feel stiff and you just don't quite click,
yeah.
it's not going to work. I said it's not a judgment on the therapist, it's not a judgment on you, but you do kind of, it's got to kind of, you've got to feel comfortable. You are actually
yeah.
sharing often some things that no one else has ever known in you about your
yeah.
life. Your thoughts that perhaps are very difficult for you to offload. If it's with someone you're not comfortable with,
yeah.
it's not going to work, is it?
No,
They might have the most integrative. Oh God, I can't say integrative.
Integrative.
Can you say it, Charlie? what Charlie said. You have the most fancy modalities in the world. Can you say it, Abby? You
yeah,
can
yeah.
say it either. There we go. No, I feel better now. Abby's got great vocabulary and she could say it. So. Just basically focusing, obviously, certificated, so someone who's actually trained and qualified.
Yeah.
Are there particular markers to look out for in terms of training?
Yeah, in the UK, you want someone who is either registered with the BACP or the UKCP.
Okay, so BACP, so that's the British Association of...
Exactly.
Counselling
and Psychotherapy.
Counseling,
and then the UKCP is a similar thing. It's just...
So if you see those, then you know that they are registered.
Yeah.
And then, you know, basically... spend a bit of time with them and see what works.
Yeah, shop around. And, you know, obviously you're not going to like instantly feel relaxed enough with someone to pour your heart. You have to build that relationship, but you just need to feel comfortable enough to start exploring things.
Yeah, well, thank you. That was really useful nugget at the start. Because I think a lot of people, I get quite a lot of messages about that, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we've cleared that
up. Me too.
Okay, but let's talk about people pleasing. What do you kind of define people pleasing as? I think that's a good place to start. How do you see it?
Well, people pleasing, it's not about being nice or wanting other people to be happy. It's actually a pattern of behavior that can come with a load of problems. So if you're a people pleaser, you might struggle to say no to things. You might find it hard to disagree with people. You might find it tricky to like self-advocate and say what you need. And basically, being a people pleaser, it's not just about wanting other people to be happy. It's about trying to avoid the discomfort of being disliked. And it can lead to a lot of problems. Like burnout is one of them I see quite a lot. Mm. A lot of people pleasers are really stressed and exhausted because they are constantly putting other people's needs ahead of their own. And they can have a very busy schedule as a result of that.
Kind of like you've got these values or boundaries or things that are important to you, and you're allowing those to bend or even be trampled on to maintain or create relationships or just make other people happy or satisfied. It's like, it's almost like you're sacrificing something, your authentic self, I guess, in a way, for other people's benefit. Is that kind of...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and so, you know, it can lead to a lot of anxiety if you're a people pleaser, because, well, one, you can start doing things that are really out of line with your values and your needs. Mm. So you might drink alcohol or take drugs.
The school is like smoking because everyone else is smoking and you feel like you need to smoke.
Yeah, you don't want to make
the other person... Or now it's vaping, isn't it? Now everyone feels that they have to vape,
You don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable by saying no, so you go along with things that you don't love doing when, that could be drinking or drugs, or that could be bitching about your colleagues because you don't know how to say no to that. Or spending too much money on a meal out with friends because you don't want to disappoint them. But then it can also, you know, lead to like really just losing connection with who you are authentically. And I see this a lot, like sometimes when people have really lost their way in life, it's because they're kind of chronic people pleasers and they are so used to tuning in to what other people need that they've forgotten how to tune into themselves.
Do you think people actually lose sight of what is it they want almost?
Oh my God, yeah. Like when people can break the people pleasing pattern and they stop over focusing on other people, it's amazing because they start asking themselves things like, what do I want out of my life, out of my career, out of my free time, out of my relationships? Questions that they've, you know, not prioritized because they've been so focused on making everyone else happy.
Where do you think it comes from? Is it too simple to say, is it a childhood thing? Is it societal? What do you think feeds into that? Because it is kind of a chronic thing, isn't it? It's kind of everywhere. And I'd almost argue some of the negatives from the social media stuff comes a little bit from that. People feel like they need to be seen to do certain things and be a certain way. In a way, you're kind of trying to please people at a mass scale almost. Yeah. Like you're trying to pick these people you don't even know almost.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't really know. You're trying to be seen to do the right thing or seen to live your life the way that you should be, perhaps, rather than the authentic way you want to.
Yeah, and there's some perfectionism in that as well. But I think you're right. I think it's societal and it can come from our childhood. You know, I would say most people pleasers started out as parent pleasers. And, you know, you might have had a parent that excessively praised you for being good or kind. And that can become like really tied up in your identity to the point where you feel like your whole personality has to be easygoing or generous. But you also might have learned from a young age that it was important not to displease people. So maybe you had a parent who would ignore you or get angry with you if you vocalized a preference or an opinion. So you learned to be really agreeable to like maintain that connection with a loved one.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it, with childhood? Because you think, like, I'm just thinking of, as I grow up now, it's kind of sometimes the different parents, you're trying to please them for different reasons or ways. And then perhaps, I guess, as you get older, you're like, all right, who am I going to please now? It's almost, do you pass that baton on? Like, you're almost like you kind of become an adult and it's perhaps you're not trying to please your parents anymore. It's perhaps your boss or it's your friends or it's your partner. Do you think it's almost like a pattern of repeating almost?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you can spend your whole childhood trying to please your parents and then you're trying to please your boss and you're burning out there. And then, you know, and also with, I think in like socially, people pleasers often become like a real social chameleon. Mm. Like they'll shapeshift to like fit in with whatever they think is going to gain the most approval. Mm. So like, oh yeah, I like that film, or I like doing those things. And you know, you think that that's how you're going to gain loads of friends, but actually what we find is that that leads to a lot of loneliness, because people are never really seeing who you truly are, and that makes you feel really unknown.
So in a way, I guess it's also loneliness from yourself, because obviously connecting yourself is very important. If you're kind of presenting yourself as not even, because this sounds like people are doing deliberately, you're probably, a lot of the time, it's not even a conscious thing, it's just that subconscious thing.
Yeah.
And then you're actually not even connecting with yourself. You're not being who you are. Therefore, you can't just enjoy your own company and what you like. And then you're also that other people. And the thing is, other people can see through it quite a lot, I think, all the time. They get energy in your gut. You can feel when someone is a people pleaser, I think, to some extent.
Oh, yeah.
Versus someone who's just quite just themselves. We're not talking about just being rude here. People are just like, you know, I think you can, there is a way that you can tell, perhaps more difficult for yourself. So is there ways that you could suggest people can recognize in themselves, or questions or ways they can assess whether there is an element of people pleasing that in their own lives?
I think a lot of people often say to me, well, how can I tell if I'm just being nice or whether I'm being a people pleaser, you know? And I think it's about trying to look at your intentions behind your behavior. So say if, I don't know, say if someone asks to borrow money, you know, and you say yes, like think for a second, like, am I doing this because I'm seeking approval, or I'm trying to avoid conflict, which are people pleasing behaviors, or am I doing this because I genuinely want to and I can? So it's about trying to figure out the intentions behind your actions.
That's interesting. So avoiding conflict also is a way of people pleasing as well.
Oh, massively. Yeah, people pleasers are really afraid of conflict, because it's all, you know, people pleasers are all about trying to avoid the discomfort of being disliked, and conflict can bring up that discomfort of, you know, a lot of people pleasers just don't like share a difference of opinion.
With people pleasing, I guess it's obvious that if we're doing that, it can make us feel a bit rubbish because we're not being ourselves. But in terms of, I guess, wider effects, things like mental health, are there like risks in terms of that? Do you think people pleasing can actually make you like genuinely and deeply unhappy?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it can create a lot of anxiety because you're so overly focused on pleasing everyone, which is like an impossible thing to be able to do. You can't please everyone. You know, when we've talked about this kind of losing touch with your authenticity, which can lead you down life paths that you don't really want to go down, and you know, and it can lead to burnout. But we also see a lot of resentment involved in people pleasing, and this can show up a lot in the workplace. So a lot of people pleasers are people pleasers at work, and that might look like, you know, always saying yes to extra projects even if you don't have the capacity to do it, always being the one that stays late, you don't take all of your holiday, you're answering emails out of hours. And often it's because you're maybe even unconsciously hoping that you're going to get something in return, like a pay rise or some words of appreciation. And then when that doesn't happen, it can be gut-wrenching and you can feel really taken advantage of. And you can start to resent the whole situation and resent other people that aren't people pleasers, people that are just doing their job and not more than that.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just resentment towards the people trying to please, it might be even people around you who actually they're able to have their boundaries,
yes,
and be, you know, have their authenticity in the way that they want to make the decisions, but because you'll feel like you're just, you know, you're doing this to please people, it's almost annoying. It's like, well, why can't I do it if they're doing it?
Yeah, or you know, you see, if you're a bit of an overworker, you finally get fed up and you're like, well, you know, why am I always the one to stay late? Why am I always the one to take those phone calls? Like, she doesn't do that. And it's like, well, you know, she's got boundaries.
So for people listening, I'm pretty sure I can certainly, like, it definitely triggers some memories for me. I mean, for people listening, and you think, gosh, that does sound a bit like me, what do you do? Because it sounds like quite a big task to change that, especially if it's something you've had all of your life. How can you actually, especially say workplace stuff, how can you change that, you know?
Well, it does start with boundaries, and, you know, learning to set healthy boundaries is a huge part of overcoming the people-pleasing pattern. And it is scary. Like, if you've spent a lifetime of prioritizing other people's needs ahead of your own, it can feel really tricky to start saying no to things and setting boundaries. And I think people often, when they start setting boundaries, feel a lot of guilt and fear. And that's really normal and really understandable. And so I think what we have to remember is, say if a friend invites you to a birthday dinner and it's at a really fancy restaurant and you can't really afford it, and you say to them, you know, as a people pleaser, you might have just gone along with it and felt quite resentful of having to spend this money. But if you were to set a boundary, you might say to them, look, I really want to come to your birthday. I just can't afford to go to that restaurant, but I'll meet you for a drink after, or something like that. That might sound terrifying to a people pleaser to say that. And if they do that, they might feel a huge amount of guilt, and that friend might be disappointed. But what we need to remember is that it's not our job to manage someone's emotional response to our boundaries.
Gosh, that's so true. God, that in itself is such a nugget of thoughts. Like, it's, we often feel a burden of, like, how are they going to respond, or how are they going to feel about this? Ooh, we're going underneath it again. We're ducking under this. I'm going under, yeah, the lowest bridge you've ever seen. I can't actually even stand up in the middle of the gap. So for listeners, I'm going underneath a train. So there is a 100-ton train or whatever going over my head. It's gone now. And I'm bent over in the double because this archway is bloody low. It's not made for 6'4" people, this one, is it? Tell you, it's like an obstacle. Stompcast is like an obstacle course.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Getting my steps in today.
Getting all the steps in. Yeah, it's going well.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's not a job to manage people's emotions. And you know, so as you're talking then, I was thinking of an example recently in my life. So basically, my friend is getting married, and he has a stag do, and I can't say where it is and what they're doing, just in case the timings and stuff, and I don't want me to have, like, let the cat out of the bag or whatever. But anyway, essentially, I don't want to go to the stag.
Yeah.
For various reasons, because of my lifestyle and stuff like that. Now, I don't want to go to the stag, primarily because often stags include things like drink.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, don't know if I'm going to feel uncomfortable about saying, you know, politely declining, basically, going. But then I thought, if I go, I'm going to be anxious about going for weeks. Mm. When this decision was made weeks and weeks ago. Weeks ahead. I'm going to feel very, very resentful going, which I know sounds awful, but it'll just feel, I'll feel uncomfortable. I won't show up properly, and I'm not going to be able to hide the fact that I'm going to feel uncomfortable. So I told my friend, you've got this weekend. He knows what weekend it is. He knows he's going away. So I said, look, I can't come to that weekend because of X, Y, Z. And I just think it's best, you know, we'll do something separate outside than me and you. But I think probably it's better aligned for you guys to all go and enjoy, and we'll do something another time.
And
think
you were honest about why?
Completely honest about it. Yeah, I just said like this. And yeah, no excuse. I just said, look, I just didn't say I'm busy that weekend. I said, it's just not quite right. It does not right fit. I can't remember what I said, but some of those lines of like, I just don't think it's quite right for me personally going there. Like, it's not the kind of weekend that, you know, I'm going to feel comfortable doing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and he, you know, you think, oh, they're going to be really annoyed. He's literally completely fine about it.
Yeah.
He's like, of course, yeah, no worries. I get it. Like, I kind of thought it would be a bit something different to what you do now. And so, yeah, he was completely fine. And like, there's often, as you said, it's like you're almost thinking to manage their emotions, let other people manage themselves. And, you know, if they do blow off the handle and you're actually just putting reasonable boundaries in, then that draws a lot of questions, doesn't it? It makes you question, is this relationship good?
Yeah.
He was really really, really like understanding and cool about it. There's no issue. Well, so I think shows a healthy dynamic, doesn't it?
Yeah, really? Exactly. And I think, you know, a lot of people are often quite surprised at how accepting people are of their boundaries. You know, there's so much fear around setting boundaries, and we do find that nothing terrible happens when we start to advocate for ourselves.
Yeah, and also, having catchphrases helps, doesn't it? I mean, I've got one. It's not a catchphrase in the sense I just use it, but it is the truth, because for me it encapsulates 95% of the reason I'll say no to something is because I'm at capacity. So I get asked to do all, as you'd imagine, in my role and, you know, just the size of my platform, I get asked to do all sorts of different things. And we have to decide what we have capacity for and what we don't. So if I don't have capacity, I say, look, I just don't have capacity for that. It's brilliant what you're doing. If it is brilliant what they're doing, thank you. And people are fine with it because everyone understands what our capacity means, I think.
Yeah, you know? clear is kind. I think sometimes we... You know, I used to be a massive people pleaser, and I used to find it really hard to say no to things. And if I had been in your situation with the stag, like, I would have probably like waffled on and maybe made excuses and be like, maybe I'll come, I need to see about this thing. And then, because I would be so scared of disappointing the other person. But actually, that's really frustrating to be on the receiving end of.
And it's also because in the past I have done that. In the past I have either gone or made an excuse. And then if I have made an excuse, I felt bad because I was like, oh, that's not... You know, sometimes maybe it's partially right or whatever, but you're like, oh, I've actually basically made an excuse here. I don't like that. And then also if you go, you don't like it because you've not authentically done what you really feel like doing at that time. So I've learned from it. And I was like, no, this is the right way to do it.
Yeah. And if someone says to me like, oh, I don't want to say no because, you know, I don't want them to be upset. I think I should just go and suck it up. And I say to them, would you want someone coming to your event or party or whatever, like, so and feeling resentful? And they're always like, well, no.
That's actually a really good way of looking at it. Like, flip yourself onto the other person's shoes and say, if someone said this to me, what would I say? And it's actually quite a useful one as well if you're trying to talk to anyone about any problem. You know, if you're trying to share with someone, perhaps a family member that you're struggling at the moment, or you know, you don't feel great, or this, you know, think, if you were that family member, what would you... How would you react?
Yeah,
would you break this person, or would you treat the person with kindness? And 9 times out of 10, you'd hope that certainly if there's healthy relationships that you have, that is exactly what the person will do.
Yeah, and you know, the best friendships and relationships that I have are with people who are really clear with their boundaries. And I love it because I always know where I stand with them.
Yeah.
And if I invite them to something and they say yes, I know they really mean it. And there's a lot of comfort and safety in that kind of relationship.
I think so. That honesty, the more honest you can be, the better. So, yeah, let's talk through a couple of steps then that people take. You kind of mentioned one there, but any others or any things you can really advise for people then that are thinking, yes, you know, perhaps I do get asked to do things like a weekend away that you didn't exactly want to do, or, you know, a classic one in like medical training is being asked constantly by the seniors to do projects that you literally don't have capacity to doing, like a research project, and you're literally like, I don't have time for my own life, let alone a research project. So yeah, maybe a little bit more on some of those tips if you can.
Yeah, I think, you know, when setting boundaries, I think it's best to just try and stick to the facts and be concise. You know, often we sugarcoat our boundaries to try and protect people, but that can often leave people feeling a bit confused. So, you know, boundaries often start with things like, I will, I won't, I can, I can't. Because if you waffle on, then people are more likely to try and, like, talk you out of it. And so it's also about, you know, if someone is disappointed by your boundary, you know, try not to let that make you go back and retract what you've just said.
Kind of what you just said about not... It's not your problem how they deal with it in a way.
Yeah.
Not in a nasty way, but in a genuine sense, they need to emotionally regulate or regulate in general.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you will feel guilty when you first start setting boundaries, but it's important to recognise that just because you feel guilty doesn't mean you are guilty. Mm. And, you know, that it's okay to have these difficult feelings. You know, it's what we call growing pains, you know, in therapy, emotional growing pains. Like, it's signifying growth. It's, you're out of your comfort zone a little bit, but that's because there's growth happening.
Gosh, I love that. Growing pains, getting, because it's kind of, you're kind of fighting against your patterns of repeating, of being like, yes, and because you're doing something, it's not what you usually do, it feels uncomfortable, isn't it? You're at that, like, kind of, what do they say, growth is at the edge of your comfort zone.
Yes.
So you're kind of pushing that boundary beyond because you're not doing what you usually do, and your body, your brain's going, hang on, this is not how we usually do this. Yeah. This is not going to end up pleasing, or it's not going to end up with a positive result. We're going to end up in a negative place here. But then you do reinforce it. And the important thing, I guess, perhaps if I can bring my time thing into this, is that, you know, if you're spending your life being someone you're not, doing things that you don't want to do, you are literally wasting your life.
Yeah.
If we're frank about it.
Yeah.
Like, time is so precious. You know, I saw this thing on TikTok. You know, you get, on average, you get 75 summers, 75 winters, autumns and springs.
Yeah.
You know, don't waste your time. And that does not, like me now saying, go out there and be ridiculously overproductive and send it to the fullest. You know, that's very much not what I'm saying. But you don't want to spend your time doing things that don't actually reflect how you want to spend your life.
Yeah. And, you know, I do see maybe this correlation between people pleasing and addiction. I think, you know, if you're living a really inauthentic life and you're doing a job
really
that you're, you know, doing to please other people, or you're spending your weekends doing things you don't want to do, then I think you're more likely to engage in activities that help you escape your reality.
Like alcohol, you think?
Yeah. Or numbing through sugar, or, you know, all those other things that we talked about. I think if you can be authentic and you construct a life that is genuine and authentic, then you're not you don't try and escape it. You try and
That's
live
so
it.
So true, because you want to, in a life when you're being authentic, doing things the way you want to do it, you're not wanting to escape that life, because that is the life you want.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in a life that you don't want to be in, then you're going to, you know, drink or whatever. And I guess it's kind of like with grief, like that is an experience you didn't want or don't want, and therefore that's why, you know, things like drink might come in, because you're trying to escape that, aren't you?
Yeah.
By doing that. So being the boundaries and then creating your own reality in the way that you want to brings happiness. Have you seen that with, you know, your clients? Do you have any examples you can share, obviously anonymously, you know, or scenarios or types of situations that you see where people have come to you and they've perhaps practiced these things, they've worked through the growing pains, and that they've seen a success, and what success looks like with this?
Oh yeah, massively. And it's so rewarding as a therapist to see people put in the hard work and kind of like overhaul their lives. You know, a lot of clients come to me feeling really burnt out. They're people pleasers. They maybe are overextending themselves in jobs that they don't even feel passionate about. They're spending their weekends accommodating everyone else's needs. And actually, through learning about how to self-advocate, to be assertive, to set boundaries, to tune into what they want, you know, it can start really small. Mm. I mean, it sort of has to start really small, really, otherwise you get a bit overwhelmed. But, you know, starting small with something like speaking up about which restaurant you want to go to instead of just going along with everyone else. And then you start to build confidence. You know, people don't react terribly when I speak. So, okay, I'm going to try something else. And you build and you build on that. You know, and I'll have clients come back to me like, I did it. You know, I let the call go to voicemail, or I, you know, I said no to my boss. And they start to build this confidence. And over time, they're reconstructing a life that they actually don't want to escape from and that they're enjoying. And they, you know, often you do see that you do lose some friendships along the way, you know, because not everyone will respond well to your boundaries. Sometimes people can take advantage of people who are boundaryless. And when you start being assertive and standing up for yourself, you might lose those people, but
I'd argue you never had those people in the first
place.
Well,
quite, yeah. What kind of friendship really was that?
Yeah, that's. I think often we're afraid of losing things that we never had. Which I don't know if that sounds,
amazing.
Trying to be worldly or whatever with it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look at it as frank as I can, is that often, it's like with drinking, you know, it often comes up, but I don't mean to talk about it all the time. There's lots of people that, you know, do drink that listen to Stompcast, and that's absolutely cool. But I relate to things, and I often share things because I relate to them. So, you know, with drinking, you realise who your friends are, because people want to hang out with you whether you drink or don't, because they're your friends. If they don't want to hang out with you, and they only want to hang out with you when you drink, they weren't your friends.
Yeah.
Not that you've lost a friend, they weren't your friends.
Yeah, they were maybe a drinking buddy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not even a knock against that, because that might have been your sheer thing at the time, but that doesn't mean that they have to carry on in every chapter of your life. That perhaps, you know, it's also perfectly okay to allow those things to pass. And I guess in some of the people pleasing, you've got to kind of learn to let go. Like, we want to keep everyone happy by definition, right?
Yeah.
You've got to let people go when they you know, people are meant to be there, they'll stay there. If they're not, they'll go, and just let that happen, and new connections form in that place, right? New connections based on your boundaries and your personality.
Yeah, and more authentic connections, you know, people that really align with you and that essentially more like meaningful relationships.
I love that idea though, of almost testing it and almost, you know, like the restaurant suggestion you said, because actually it's a way, it's almost like, I'm thinking of it as like a training simulator or something, like it's like a training ground, isn't it? So if I can prove my skill on this level, then I can build up the levels, almost like on a games console where it gets harder and harder.
Yes.
You're doing it to higher levels, but you've built the skill, confidence, and knowing that you're going to be fine, it's not going to kill you from the previous levels.
Well, I love that. I might use that analogy as well, because I also sometimes say to people, you wouldn't go to the gym and just start lifting the heaviest weights.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd, like,
yeah,
injure
exactly.
yourself, and then you'd not go back. But if you do something that's a bit of a stretch...
Well, you learn the technique, don't you? If you're going to go and do squats, you learn how to do weightless squats at first, and then you learn the technique, and perhaps you work up to jump squats, or then, you know, then you might add like a goblet and you do the goblet squat. Then you might be able to do a barbell, or I don't know, whatever. You're kind of building up, aren't you? Then you add more weights and things. But you don't start off going in the gym. Well, I really would advise you don't go start off the gym, go and do 100 kilogram squats, because your chance of injury is going to be high.
Well, exactly. And there is that emotional injury of, if you do too much too soon, you will freak yourself out. And, you know, I'm not a fan of the, like, go hard or go home when it comes to, like, emotional healing. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't work.
No. And so with people that you've seen then, what kind of difference, so before and after almost, what kind of things do they say to you in terms of the difference it makes their life? Like, what benefit do they feel when they've actually realised, you know, they've changed this direction, if you like?
Just a lot more at peace and happy and fulfilled, you know, instead of kind of living in this quite often fight or flight, or in more of a kind of shut down, numb state, they're actually much more regulated and happy and engaged. And they often start, like, reconnecting with, like, old passions and interests, and they just reconstruct their life, and it starts to look very, very different. And often people, you know, I've seen people, you know, let go of people pleasing patterns, and suddenly they're quitting their job, or they're starting a business, or they've left a relationship, started a new relationship, moved cities. You know, it's amazing how, when we start to change things on the inside, how things start to change on the outside as well.
It's a beautiful thing to almost find yourself, I guess.
Yeah.
Again, that sounds very thing, but to like find who you are and actually living your own life, like, that must be such a joyous feeling, you know. And I've definitely had times where perhaps I've moved into that. I wouldn't say that I've been hugely people pleased, but I've certainly had times. I think a lot of people probably do go through patches, and I can just see that, and I can imagine that, how nice that is, just to realise that. So just as we come then to the end of part two, perhaps you could share just a bit of hope, or what you kind of say to someone who's listening and thinking, this is me, I want to change, I don't want to be a people pleaser anymore. What would you say to them as encouragement?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's not a life sentence, being a people pleaser. It's a really common pattern of behaviour to get into, and it is possible to make changes. And I always say, you know, awareness is really key. That's the first step of, like, being able to recognize that you're a people pleaser is a big first step. And then also, don't feel like you have to make these huge overnight changes and start setting big boundaries. You know, start small, build up your confidence, and do it from a place of compassion, not a place of self-criticism. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my god, I'm a people pleaser, please don't take that as an opportunity to beat yourself up about it. Take it as an opportunity to practice a bit of self-compassion and start looking inwards about what's going to make you happy.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. And of course, if you want to learn more and use some of these skills and develop your skills, you can have a read of the book, Reclaiming You, which will help you, you know, exactly with these kind of things. Lots of different chapters in the book covering different topics, but I really, really like this one around people pleasing, because it's really important. Okay, thank you everyone for listening to part two. We're going to see you very soon in part three. If you're listening on Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday, they come out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you're a BTS subscriber on Apple, you'll get all the episodes on the Friday, as well as Dr. Alex's diaries and Behind the Stompcast 2. You should check out those episodes and enjoy them. Anyway, see you all very soon. Take care and goodbye.
If you're looking for more mental fitness content, check out my book, The Mind Manual, Mental Fitness Tools for Everyone, and A Better Day and A Better Day Journal for Children. And if you have a man in your life, or indeed if you're a man listening to this, make sure you check out Mettle, the app, M-E-T-T-L-E, mental fitness tools that are designed for men. Download now.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.